been kind of an emotional week for me. I'll tell you why. Last week we had our dedication for the steeple, and then Bev Minzy has been this week made some phone calls to some of you to get some dates. I had them at one time, but I had lost the list, and Bev's going to help me get the names of those who have gone to heaven from our church inscribed on the plate or the plaque that will hang in the back there. And this week I took a copy of that list home with me, the members from our church that have gone on to heaven. And all throughout this week, actually starting last Sunday night, I just took about 20 minutes or so, and I just remembered them person by person. And just thought about them and thought about the memories that I had of them. Some they were memories of things that happened here at church. Some were memories that I formed in the hospital as I visited with them in the hospital. Some were memories of things that we had done outside of the church. But I took each name, and there's eight or nine of them. I can't remember exactly how many. And I just took 20, 30 minutes throughout the week and just sort of remembered each of those folks. And then, of course, came to my mind those folks that weren't members of our church but were related to our church, like John's mom and Debbie's grandmother that we buried recently that are in heaven. And as I was thinking about all of those folks, this verse in Psalms 116 came to my mind. It's verse 16, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." And I thought about that verse, and you know, it's a strange verse. It's sort of, if we were writing the Bible, we probably would have written it a different way. We would have written that verse to say, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of the wicked." Huh? That's how we would have done it. We would have said, hey, God's happy when those that reject him, God's happy when those that ignore him, God's happy when those that have nothing to do with his kingdom, when they die, he's happy about that. And if we were writing the Bible, that's how we write it. But that's not how God wrote it. That's not God's ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways, the Bible says. In Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 11, the Bible says, "As I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked." Because you see, God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, because when the wicked die, they go to hell. I mean, Jesus told the story of that, and I think a true story in Luke chapter 16, when he told the story of Lazarus, the beggar, and the rich man. He said they both died. He said the rich man, and they were buried. And then reading from Luke chapter 16, here's what the Bible says, when Lazarus died, he went and laid in the bosom of Abraham. And when the rich man died, he went to hell. And the Bible says, "And he in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest the good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us, that they would come from thence." And see, when the wicked die, they go to hell. God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's why the Bible says, "As I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked." God doesn't want any person to go to hell. He's not willing that any should perish. He wants everybody to be saved. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, He wants you to be saved. He doesn't want you to go to hell. Look, I know that verse says, "For God so loved the world," but make it more personal. He loved you. And He doesn't want you to go to hell. And you've heard me say this before, I believe it with all my heart. If I was the only sinner that lived on the face of the whole earth, if you were the only sinner that lived on the face of the whole earth, Jesus Christ, God's Son, would have came and died for me, and He would have come and died for you. And if you're not saved this morning, you need to understand you're a sinner. There's a penalty for that sin. Jesus paid the penalty. And if you would come and receive Him this morning, you could have the gift of salvation. That's talked about over and over again in the Bible. But as many as received Him, John 1:12, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. That's why God put whosoever in the Bible. He didn't want to leave anybody out. I was reading a story. I can't remember who the preacher was, but he was telling the story of a lady. Her name was Mary Smith, a very common name. And she was struggling with this fact that Jesus died for her. And she even came to the preacher and said, if God would have, even in the Bible, if God would have said that He died for Mary Smith, and if Mary Smith would come and receive Christ, that she could go to heaven, I'd worry that it'd be somebody else. I'd worry that it'd be another Mary Smith. I'd worry it wouldn't be me. And her pastor said to her, Mary, that's why God put whosoever in the Bible. That's why John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. He wanted to make sure that you knew that you were included. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That includes everybody. Everybody. And so God hath no pleasure in the death of the wicked. And if you go to hell, you'll go because you want to. Say, oh, wait a minute, Brother Darrell, I don't understand that. Let me say it again. If you go to hell, it will be because you want to. If you go to hell, you will step over every obstacle that God has put between you and hell. You'll step over the cross. You'll step over the blood of Christ. You'll step over the gospel. You'll step over the Bible. You'll step over the church. You'll step over a Sunday school teacher and a preacher and a Christian and everybody that's ever talked to you about Jesus Christ. If you go to hell, you'll step over them. You'll push them out of the way. If you go to hell, you'll go because you want to. God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Because when they die and go to hell, they have foiled and spoiled and messed up the plan of God for their life. He wants everybody to be saved. He wants everybody to to go to heaven. And so, we come back to that verse in Psalm 116, verse 16. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. And as I thought about the people from our church who have died and gone to heaven, I thought about that verse, and I thought about why it is precious. Why was it precious, Jeremy and Heather, for Michaela to go to heaven? Why was it precious for Doris to go to heaven? Why was it precious for your mom to go to heaven? And I can't mention everybody. I'll forget somebody. But every time somebody goes to heaven, it's precious in the sight of the Lord. Four things came to mind. Four reasons why God would call it precious. Number one, death is the last valley that God has to see His children go through. In Psalm 23, that psalm we all know, it talks about the valley of the shadow of death. And death is the last valley that God's children have to go through. Listen. Seems like you're all asleep. Listen. I want to get your attention this morning. I want you to wake up. Wake up. That's right. Dave's raising his hands back there. Wake up. God loves every single one of us. He loves every single one of us. He knows us. He cares about us. And when we hurt, God hurts. When we ache, God aches. When we cry, He cries. We're His children. If you're saved this morning, you're a child of God. He's your Father. You belong to Him. And when you hurt, He hurts, and God does not enjoy His children hurting. Every parent here knows what I'm talking about. Every grandparent here knows what I'm talking about. I would much rather hurt than to see one of my children hurt. I would much rather be sick than to see one of them be sick. I would much rather cry myself than to see one of them cry. You know, God's not any different than us. He uses the figure of a father to teach us about Himself. And He said, hey, if you fathers know how to give your children good gifts, don't you think that I know how to give you good gifts? Just take that one step further. If you fathers hurt when your children hurt, if you fathers wish you could keep that hurt away from your children, don't you think God wants the same thing for us? Yes, He does. He hurts when we hurt. We know that our life is full of trouble. Job 14, verse 1, the Bible says, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Our life is short. It's packed with heartaches. We only live a little while. Yet, in that little while, our life is packed with hurts. And our Heavenly Father, and you say, well, God could keep all those hurts away from me if He wanted to. Yes, He could. I understand that. But He sends those into our lives for a purpose. And when those hurts come, He hurts with us. And He says in heaven, I'll be glad when all this is over. I'll be glad when they have no more sorrow. I'll be glad when they have no more trouble in their life. That's why Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 1, a good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. You know, I get to go to the hospital sometimes when the little babies are born. I get to their moms let me hold them in my arms, and it's a wonderful day. It's a day of happiness. But sometimes when I hold those little babies, I say, boy, your life is just starting. Your life is just starting, and if you're going to be like most people, that life will be filled with hurt and sorrows. It'll be filled with pain. Stop and think. The whole life, their whole life is before them, and it'll be packed. And I contrast that to when I go to the hospital for an older person. A person that has a disease that's going to take their life. A person who knows they're about to die. And here's what I think. It's almost over. No more pain. No more sorrow. No more heartache. That's why Solomon said the day of one's death, for a child of God, is better than the day of one's birth. And that's why the death of a saint is precious in the eyes of God. Because God our Father can look down and say, it's almost over. They won't have to suffer anymore. They won't have to be in pain anymore. They're going to get a new body. They're going to live in a place where there is no night, no pain, no tears. And saints, the death of saints is precious in the sight of God because death is the last valley they have to walk through. It's precious, number two, because it's only at death that God gets our full attention. Stop and think about that. I mentioned it a little bit in open assembly in Sunday school. It's only when we die that God gets our full attention. He made us for Himself. He tells us to look unto Him and to call upon Him and to praise Him. He tells us in the Bible to love Him with all our heart and our soul and our mind. But as long as we live in this world, like we talked about in Sunday school, there's so many things that distract us that God can't get our full attention. Did you ever try to talk to somebody and they only sort of half listen to you? Yeah. Now, oh, man, I see all these wives looking at their husbands. That's not what I was talking about. Did you ever try to talk to somebody and you wanted to get them? And Dick, you must have been confessing your sins this morning because Diane got a big smile on her face when I asked that question. Dick talked about in Sunday school, he needs to listen more. But you know what it's like when you're trying to talk to somebody and you only got half of their attention? I mean, you're trying to tell them something important and all you get out of them is, You don't know if they're really listening or if they're just saying. Many don't sit there and shake your head so hard, you're going to hurt yourself. You don't know if they're really listening or if they're just saying at the right time when you pause to get a breath. You don't know. You know, that's the way God feels sometimes. He has important things to tell us. He has wonderful things to tell us. He wants us to listen. And yet there's so many things when we're alive down here that distract us, that keep us from putting our full attention on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why I ask when we have the Lord's Supper to just clear out your mind. I know everybody has troubles. I know everybody has heartaches. I know everybody has something on your heart and your mind today. But I hope during the Lord's Supper you can put all that aside and you can concentrate on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what God wants for us. And you know, when we die, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is all going to be passed away. All the distractions that take our attention away from God. I think that's why Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, "For now we see through glass darkly, but then face to face." We're distracted by so many things that God can't get our full attention. And when we, as His children, die, He's got our full attention. He says it's precious. It's precious. It's precious, number three, because He gets to show us everything that He has prepared for us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, the Bible says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him." Paul went to heaven. He said, one time he said, "I don't know if I was in the body or I was outside of the body. I got caught up to that third heaven and I saw things that were so wonderful, so beautiful. I cannot describe them for you because words do not exist to describe what heaven's going to be like." I know we sing about mansions, and I know we sing about the gates of pearl, and I know we sing about the street of gold. I know all of us have something in our mind when we think about heaven. A picture comes to our mind. But I want to tell you something this morning. You ain't seen nothing yet. I mean, if you have the best imagination in the whole world, and you just let it run, and you think about the most wonderful place that you can think of, a place of where there's a bowl of banana pudding on every table, Lois. A place where they have candy bar machines that you can just push a button and they'll come out and they won't have calories or bad cholesterol or anything like that. You can eat ding-dongs without worrying about the whipped cream in the middle and everything around. I mean, you just think about the most wonderful place, and I'm kidding, I try to get your attention this morning, but you think about the most wonderful place that you can think of, and it comes about this much compared to the diameter of the earth as to what heaven's going to be like. And you know that God can't wait to show us that. He can't wait. Before my mom got a little bit older and had a hard time getting around, she was a fanatic about Christmas. Many, she'd start her Christmas shopping on December the 26th. She'd put her Christmas tree up the day after Halloween. And she couldn't wait. I mean, I can remember on our birthdays, mine's in May, she says, "You know, I bought you this for Christmas, but I just can't wait for you to have it, so I'm going to give it to you on your birthday." You know, that's the way God is. God is so anxious to show us what He has prepared for us in heaven that He gives us little pictures of it all throughout the Bible. And I think when Jesus stands to His feet, when one of God's children comes home. Remember when Stephen was stoned, he said, "Hey, I look up into heaven and I see the Son of God and He's standing by the throne of God." Other places you read in the Bible, Jesus sits at the throne of God. He was standing up to welcome Stephen home. And I think when Jesus stands to welcome the saints that have gone on to heaven, He's sort of rubbing His hands together and saying, "I can't wait to show them what's in store for them. I just can't wait to show them their mansion. I just can't wait to show them around heaven. And that our death, if we're the children of God, is precious because he gets to show us what he's prepared for us. And then number four, the death of a saint is precious because usually leads to somebody else getting saved. How many times have we gone to funerals at a church, as a church, where the gospel's been preached, an invitation's been given, somebody raises their hand and says, I want to go to heaven too. You see, when somebody dies, it reminds us all that we're mortal. When somebody dies, it reminds us all that one day we're also going to die. When somebody dies, it reminds us that our life, like David says, is just a vapor. It's here one moment and gone the next. When somebody dies, it causes us to think about eternity, life after death, and where we're going to spend it. And what a joy it is to stand as a preacher beside a casket and know that the person who lays there is in heaven, is with Jesus, and then to be able to preach the gospel and see some of their family and friends raise their hands and say, I want to go too. I want to go too. Precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of his saints. Now let me ask you a question this morning and then I'm done. Does that verse apply to you? Well, here's what I'm asking. Are you a saint this morning? Now let me hasten to help you understand what the word saint means. You're not a saint because you're a good person. You are not a saint because you had good parents. You're not a saint because you were brought up as a Sunday school kid and been coming to church all your life. You're not a saint if you do good stuff. You're a saint if you put your trust in Jesus Christ as your only hope for heaven. You're a saint if you've admitted to God that you're a sinner and you've trusted Jesus Christ to pay for that sin. It's the only thing that makes you a saint. And I'll tell you what, there's a lot of us that are saints in this room this morning that aren't proud of what our life looked like or looks like now. Because you see, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I still have to fight the old man that lives inside of me. I still have to fight the devil every single day. My sainthood does not depend on my actions, praise God. My sainthood does not depend on me always having the right attitude. My sainthood does not depend on me always doing the right thing. My sainthood is fixed on the solid rock of Jesus Christ and what he did for me on Calvary. And when I die and I go to heaven, it's going to be precious in the eyes of God. And if you're here today and you're a saint and you die and go to heaven, it's going to be precious in the eyes of God. But if you're here today and you're not a saint, because you've never asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior, it's going to be a terrible day for God, because he did not plan on you going to hell. I don't want you to go to hell. Nobody here that's saved wants you to go to hell. You can change your destination this morning. You know what? I don't care what condition you came in this morning, you can leave a saint. Not because you're good, but because you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. And if you're here this morning, you've never done that, today's the day. Now is the accepted time, the Bible says. If you'll come and receive him, he'll make you one of his children. And he'll give you a home in heaven. If you're here today and you've never done that, I encourage you to do it. Right now. Right now. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Simple, simple story of Jesus. Simple, simple story of what he did for us on Calvary, to pay for our sins and to make us right with you. Thank you, Father, that so many here this morning already know what it is to be looking forward to heaven. We have those that we love that are already there, and we're looking forward to joining them and joining you in that land where there's no darkness, no pain, no tears. We look forward to that day, but Father, there might be some here this morning that aren't looking forward to death because they don't have that same assurance. They're still separated from you because of their sin. They've never put their trust in Jesus Christ. This morning, I don't care how old they are, young child, old man, young lady, older lady, somebody in between. Father, you know who we are. You know who sits in this congregation this morning that's never put their faith in Jesus Christ. And I pray, Holy Spirit, right now that you would touch their heart. You would woo them to the Savior. Would help them to see that there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved but the name of Jesus Christ. And would you help them come in the next few moments? Would you help them make that decision to take Jesus for their own? For it's in His precious name we pray. Amen.